I always think, what would happen if my father or someone would be here and he'd take a look at people holding things via the connection, via the vaya. How does it work? Anyway, that's not important. Speaking about my father, I have yahrzeit for my father this Friday morning, but tonight and tomorrow, that's Pesach Sheni, I have yahrzeit for my mother. They're a day apart, but they were 24 years apart. It will be the 60th yahrzeit for my mother. She died in 1957. My father died in 1981 when we were here on sabbatical. So this year is Le'ilul Nishmatam, and it's also Le'ilul Nishmat Mordechai ben Shmuel Yehuda, a brother of Bracha Frankel. She's someplace here. Where is she? Oh, there she is, Bracha Frankel in the back. Now, she got up from Shiva a few days ago or last week, and Tz'ilu Nish Mateim, and they're a part of Jewish history. The two of them were on the Kastner train that left from Hungary to Switzerland. Satmar Rebbe was on from Bergen-Belsen. From Bergen-Belsen. And that's a shtick history. Or is that a shtick history? That I'm not going to get into that. If I get into that, we won't have a shir today. Even though shir today is going to be historic as well. Not that it's a historic shir. Every shir is historic, but it's a shir about history. So now, just things that we have to clear from the deck, and that is, she's not here this morning, but I was, when you see her, she's probably out on some trip with the AACI or the who knows who. Roseanne Polanski had a letter to the editor in the Jerusalem Post. You know, we make honorable mention, and Shalom Gold had a letter to the editor in the Jerusalem Post. The editor, in an editorial, had talked about the fact that Jerusalem is mentioned more than 800 times in Tanakh. So I wrote to them, your May 3rd editorial on UNESCO. It was about UNESCO that had voted that there is absolutely no historical connection between the Jewish people and Yerushalayim and the Kotel and Har HaBayit. Totally, they just wiped out Jewish history. Okay, we take it with a lot of grains of salt. The only thing is I don't have many grains of salt left after all the things we have to take with a grain of salt. Anyway, your May 3rd editorial on UNESCO was very good, insightful, and to the point. You see, I write that because if I write something nice, there's a possibility they might print it. You understand? It was a good article. It was a good editorial. All right? There is only one correction. You write, quote, the city of Jerusalem is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. In fact, the city's name is mentioned 667 times. Remember that as students of mine, you have to know that Yerushalayim is mentioned 667 times, 641 times in Hebrew, and 26 times in Aramaic. Furthermore, this I just added, it is the only city in the world whose name was given by God himself. With the 50th Jerusalem Day on the way, this information would have been helpful. I don't think I wrote something. Shalom Gold, Jerusalem, and they usually write after it as they do here. The writer is a rabbi. I have gotten smicha from the Jerusalem Post more often than anybody I know. Anyway, it's possible, I'm not sure yet, but we may talk, of course, the week after next, we're certainly going to talk about Yom Yerushalayim. I think we may have a shir on Yerushalayim next week as well. We're working on different things. the name, where it comes from. The Yerushalayim has 70 names in Tanakh. There's so much fascinating stuff about Yerushalayim. But now, what else is there? Well, I don't know if you saw a week ago on Friday, the Jerusalem Post in the second section had a big, beautiful color picture of tomatoes. And there was an article there about a letter from a tomato. It was my letter to the tomato that David Weinberg... He asked me for permission to use it. And he told me in advance that he was going to give me credit. That means that's very good. It means you made your way all the way to the end of the article. The bitter end. I told him in the future, my name goes at the beginning of the article, not the end of the article. You understand?
But all of us who know you knew that...
You see a letter from a tomato, you know it's me. I know that. That's okay. Okay. It has made many, many waves. Many waves. And I've been getting all sorts of emails and letters. It's fascinating. I got a letter two days ago, from a fellow from Lakewood who disagrees with a lot of what I said. Now that fits, you know. He, all this talk about Eretz Yisrael, you know, come on, the Shin is in Lakewood, you know. So. Anyway, he tries to wipe the floor with me, but when I already have written the response, you'll hear about that later. That's not for now. I think that's it. That's enough. Number one, by the way, the relationship between this shir and Parshat HaShavua is the one thing that's missing here, so I'll tell you immediately. This coming Shabbos is Parshat Emor, and in Parshat Emor we have the mitzvah of Svidat HaOmer, the parsha of Usvartem Lechem Imacharot HaShabbos, from the second day of Pesach, you should count 50 days until Shavuos. We're in the middle of the Sfira period. Hayom, more than that. We're already 4 weeks into it. Hayom Shmona Ve'esrim Yom Sheheim Arba Shavuos Lom. It's 4 weeks to the Omer. That gives us about 2 weeks and a little bit until the 50th Yom Yerushalayim, which is certainly going to be a great, great... source of joy in this city, and it's wonderful to be here and to celebrate it. I'll be talking about that a day or two before Yom Yerushalayim, and I had this great schus of arriving in Yerushalayim for the first time in 1955. I can describe the city 62 years ago and today. It's a story. You'll have to wait. Now the Shulchan Aruch tells us, this is from number one from the Shulchan Aruch, Noagim Shaloli So Isha Ben Pesach La Tzeret Ad Lag Lamed Gimel Omer. It is a minig not to marry between Pesach and Shavuos until Lag BaOmer. In that period, we don't have weddings. No weddings. Mipnei Shaboto Zman Meitu Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, because the students of Rabbi Akiva died during that period of time. Aval La'ares Ulekadesh Shaper Domi, to get engaged, and or to just make the Kedushin Hadayat Mekudeshet without a Suda and without all of the trappings, that is permitted. V'nisuin Nami, And even with regard to the to marriage, Mishekafatz v'konas, if somebody went ahead and he did indeed marry a woman during that period of time, ein onshin oto, he's not punished for it. Right, so that means there's a semi-period of mourning between Pesach and Shavuos, and it seems that it's from Pesach to Lag B'Omer. Lag B'Omer, by the way, is this coming Sunday. Now, the only difference that it makes is that when Lag B'Omer is on Sunday, the period of Avelus ends already on the Friday before, this Erev Shabbos. In other words, those of us who shave will shave. Those who want to take haircuts can take haircuts. It's all over. Because to wait till after Shabbos, in other words, Shabbos, to go in unshaven and right after Shabbos to shave, lo tov. So it will be over on Friday. Umiyu milag b'yme ve'elech hakol shori, from Lag B'Omer and further, everything is permitted. The second halacha is Noagim Shaloli Staper Ad Lamed Gimel La'omer. There is a minig not to shave, take haircuts until Lamed Gimel, the 33rd day of the Omer, Sha'omrim, because of those who say Sha'oz Posku Milomus. In other words, what's so special? What's so special about Lag B'Omer than until Lag B'Omer? But that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dining on Lag B'Omer. Ve'en listaper, the Mechaber, that's Rabbi Yosef Karo, says one should not take a haircut until Lamed Dalet Baboker, the day after Lag B'Omer. Elim Kein Chal Yom Lag Gimel Erev Shabbos, unless if Lamed Gimel B'Omer is on Erev Shabbos, Shaz Mistapen Bro Mikvnei Kvod HaShabbos. But then you can take a haircut on Erev Shabbos. The Ramah says, the Ramah is the one who tells us what the minig and the halacha was in Western Ashkenazic countries. The Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, gave the halacha for the Jews of the East, Sephardic Jews, over Medinot Elu, in our countries. We don't conduct ourselves the way the Shulchan Aruch said. El mistapren biyom lamed gimel. We take haircuts on lamed gimel ba'omer. And umar b'mitzas simcha, and we make partially a day of simcha. Ve'ein omer bo tachnun, tachnun is not said in davening in the morning. Ve'ein listaper ad lamed gimel ba'atzmo v'lo bi be'erev. Even according to us, you don't stop the night of Lag B'Omer, but you have to wait till Lag B'Omer in the morning in order to take a haircut. Miu im chal b'yom rishon, that's the halacha that I told you. If Lag B'Omer falls on Sunday, first day of the week, as it does this year, nogin l'stape b'yom shishi l'chod Shabbos, the minig is to take haircuts on Friday in honor of Shabbos. Umishu bal bris oimol beno muta listape besvida lechvod hamila. Somebody who has a baby boy, and they make a bris mila in middle of the sfira. In middle of the sfira, he's allowed to take a haircut because that's his yontif. For him, that's a big yontif. Okay, that's all we have to know. Now, I'm going to learn with you a Gemara, and I'm going to ask a whole series of questions. Over the years, it must have been a number of years ago that we did this. I have to do it again because I have new questions, and I have new things that are bothering me. And whenever there are things that are bothering me, I have to share it with you. In addition to the fact that I may say this later this week at a different event, and you know, if it passes muster by you, then I know that I can say it before great Talmidei Chachamim. Number two is the famous Gemara in Masechta Yevamot, on which everything is based. Amru, they said, Shneim Osor Elev Zugim Talmidim, 12,000 pairs of students. Hoyu lo l'Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students. Migevet Ad Antipras. These are the names of the places they were spread out. Migevet Ad Antipras. These are Galil areas. This is Galil land. The Kulon Metu Bepedek Echod, and all of them died in one period of time. Mipnei Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zeh Bazeh, because they did not conduct themselves with honor and dignity toward one another. After the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim had died, the world was desolate. There was no Torah, 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Until Rabbi Akiva came to our rabbis in the south. It means that the north, from Gevet until Antipras, no students, no Torah. So Rabbi Akiva went to our rabbis in the south. Vishon Olahem, and he taught them Torah. And who were they? Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi. We were talking about the giants of the period of the Tanoim. Rabbi Shimon is the famous Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. I told you that story. Also, I like to tell it every year, but no, I didn't. A few years ago, when my wife and I, when we were living in the Galil, and in Lag B'Omer came, and the whole world was going to Miron, was about 20 minutes away from where we were living. We were living in Migdal, 20, 25 minutes away. The whole world was going north. Gold has to be different. So with his wife, he went south, 10 minutes into Tveria. The world can go to Reb Shimon ben Yochai's caver. I went to the caver of his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva is buried on the heights of Tveria. So there it is. All of Klal Yisrael going to Miron, and Gold and his wife going to Tveria. And here was the great Nes Min HaShamayim. It was not easy to find it. It was not easy to find it. Today people would laugh at me. You didn't have your GPS on. You didn't have your Waze on. Ich weiß von Waze von GPS. I don't know. I'm part of a previous century. What do I know? But we found it. We found it. And there it was. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. Right near Rabbi Akiva's caregiver, there was a Tanakh. I didn't want to tell him. I wanted a Tanakh. And I opened it up to Zechariah. And there in Zechariah is the great pasuk that Rabbi Akiva, when he and the wise men of Israel are on Har HaTzofim and they're looking down at the ruins of the Beit HaMikdash, they cry and he smiles. They ask him, why are you smiling? Because he says, if the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash was as the Nevi'im had told us, then I am certain that the rebuilding of Yerushalayim will also be fulfilled precisely. And he said the psukim in Zechariah, Od Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenot, the elderly men and women will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, and Yeladim v'Yeladot Mesachakim berchovateh, boys and girls playing in the streets. We are Zeicha every day to see exactly what Rabbi Akiva saw when he looked down on the ruins of Yerushalayim. What a source we have. This is exactly what he saw. So that's what I did when I was by the caver. I read that pasuk in Zechariah and I told Rabbi Akiva the following. Rabbi Akiva, if I would have a can of spray paint, I'd go through this whole country and I would spray paint Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva was right. Rabbi Akiva was right. Okay. I feel better. Not the first time I've told the story, but I love the story. Okay. Rabbi Akiva went to the south and he taught Torah. He started all over again. There's greatness. The world, Eretz Yisrael, is desolate of Torah. Rabbi Akiva starts over again. And he taught Torah to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, V'Ralozer ben Shemua, V'heim heim he'emidu Torah. They are the ones who established Torah all over again. Otosho Tono, at that time they also taught that Kulam Mesu mi Pesach v'Atzeret, all of the students of Rabbi Akiva died from Pesach until Shavuos. Now, by the way, I forgot all about it. The second part of number two is the entire Gemara that I just read with English translation. Why did I dry your cup? I should have told you to just take a look down here, right? It's all there. Right there, it's all there. Okay. So now here, I've written the questions that bother me. I was very, very troubled for years. I worked on this Gemara for years. I'm very troubled. All the students of Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 of them, committed precisely the same sin. They weren't creative sinfully or sinfully creative. 24,000 students, the same aveira. Staggers the imagination. What's going on over here? Second, why does the Gemara write that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students? Why doesn't the Gemara say it straight? There were 24,000 students. All right, that's two. They all died in one particular period of time. Strange. Between Pesach and Atzeret, between Pesach and Shavuos. What does it all mean? Same sin, precisely the same sin? I don't understand. By the way, another question. Not conducting myself in a dignified manner to my friend, this is a capital crime for which the punishment is death? Unheard of! No source whatsoever for that. No such thing. And we have a Torah that tells us, lists for us avedus, what punishment is given. Shelo nagu kovod sebes, it doesn't even appear in place in all of Torah. They weren't nice. So because somebody is not nice, God wipes them out. Unheard of. Hashofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat, the judge of the whole world acts unjustly? What's going on over here? You think Rabbi Akiva had problems, you understand? Now, most probably, And every time I come to each question bothers me so much that it's the most difficult question of all. Rabbi Akiva is known for the fact that he said, "V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha," love your friend like yourself. Ze klal gadol b'Torah, that is a great law of Torah. And all 24,000 of his students did not learn that important rule from their Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva was the worst failure in educational history. Nobody. He didn't influence a single one of his students. What? I can't hear. What's that? No, those five were not his students. They became his students afterwards. All of his students died in the Galil, and then when the world was desolate of Torah, he went to the south, and he got new students. Nobody, all 24,000 of his students, didn't learn a thing from their great Rebbe. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The biggest question of all is, I said that already, I think, by every question. Okay, I'm keeping it up, all right? For them, we have a period of mourning. 24,000 students who didn't learn from their Rebbe, and they're punished with death, they got what they deserved. Why do we have to mourn for that? What kind of period of mourning it is? What's this whole sphere a bit about? I think that's enough. There may be other questions, but these are... These questions are enough. It means looking at the Gemara that tells us the story on which it seems that everything is based, the story makes absolutely no sense. I did have over here someplace, I'm reading from a footnote in the Art Scroll Gemara on Yevamos. The Medrash, and in fact it is, it's a medrash in Bereishit Rabbah, says that they were guilty of stinginess. All right? This does not contradict our Gemara. The disrespect that they showed each other was an outward manifestation of their inner flaw, a stinginess of the spirit. The medrash Bereishit Rabbah says that they were stingy. All right? That means that's what's going on inside of them. How did it reflect itself on the outside? That they didn't act with respect toward each other. Each student could not begrudge the other's success in their studies. They allowed themselves to feel that another student's advancement in scholarship was somehow a setback to themselves. This in turn led to a feeling of dissatisfaction that others were learning Torah. This aveira in the footnote, it's getting worser and worser by the minute. In other words, they're stingy, and therefore they have dissatisfaction that somebody else is learning Torah. They are not happy that he knows more than I do. A person who wishes that others should not be learning Torah or performing mitzvahs is an enemy of the king. These poor Talmidei Rabbi Akiva have now become the enemies of Lord Almighty himself. The students should have viewed the academy, the yeshiva, as a collaborative group where each individual helps and is concerned for the other. Instead, their own selfishness was their downfall. That's what's been said by, that's what's been said. They were sinners. I may be a rebel, but I'm a rebel with a cause. I have a belief, I believe that the Pshat and the Gemara is completely different. Completely different. I don't buy it that 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva were all sinners. I don't buy it. That they rejected their great Rebbe's message. I don't buy it. That there's death penalty for that, and it had to be at this period of time, and in this geographic location. There's a great deal more here. So we go to the next page. Just have patience with me. Just have patience with me. This is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, 62a. The Gemara in Yevamos is 62b, and this is Bava Metzia, 62a at the top of the Yomad. The Gemara says the following. By the way, I haven't forgotten. I have the Gemara at the top, and then we have the English translation at the bottom. So let's go to the bottom. Let's go to the second paragraph. The Gemara asks. No, next one. The Gemara answers. Okay. The Gemara is talking about the pasuk v'chai ochicho imoch, your brother shall live with you. V'chai ochicho imoch. So the Gemara says like this, miboyle l'kedesanya, the phrase is needed in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion for the lesson that was taught in the following braisa. Listen to the braisa. Shnayim shahoyu mehalch baderech, two people were traveling along the way. Ubiad echod mehen kiton shomayim. We're talking about a profound moral dilemma. Two people are in a desert. One of them has water. If he drinks the water, he will make it to safety and get more water. But his fellow is going to die of thirst in the desert. If he shares the water with his friend, they will both die. What do you do? Moral dilemma. What do you do? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One is the opinion of a Tana by the name of Ben Petura, and the second is Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says the following. Im shotim shnehem metim, if they drink, both of them will die. Now, vim shote echad mehen, if one of them will drink that canteen of water, magia liyishuv, he will be able to make it to civilization where there will be water. Dorash ben Petura. Ben Petura said with regard to this, mutav is better, sheyishtu shnehem v'yamutu, better that both of them share the water and die, rather than one seeing the death of his fellow. That's the moral position that Ben Petura took. Ad shebor Rabbi Akiva v'limeid, until Rabbi Akiva came and he said, no, that's not the way to go, because the Torah tells us, v'chei ochicho imach, your brother shall live with you. The meaning of that pasuk is, I'm first, chayecho kodmin l'chayei chavercho. Your life takes precedence over the life of your friend, because v'chei ochicho, your brother should live, but with you. I'm first, you're second. That's how Rabbi Akiva paskened. That means, according to Rabbi Akiva, the fellow who has the water should drink the water. His friend dies. That's it. Finished. I believe that this is the key to understand what's happening with the students of Rabbi Akiva. There's more than sufficient evidence, and we'll show you some of it. There's more than sufficient evidence that the students
of Rabbi Akiva died in battle against Rome. Rabbi Akiva was the one who led the Bar Kochva rebellion against Rome. Who were his soldiers? His soldiers were his Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim. I'll show you something
that's brought by Rav Soloveitchik in the Haggadah. You remember in the Haggadah? There's the story of the five rabbis who are sitting at Rabbi Akiva's Seder in Bnei Brak. And they were talking about the story of the exodus of Egypt all night. The Haggadah wants to prove that there's a mitzvah, l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, to tell the story of the exodus all night. And there it is, they were saying, telling over the story during the course of the entire night, ad shebo talmideim, until their students came in the morning and they said, Rabotenu, our rabbis, higi azman kriyat shma shel shachmas, the time to read Shema in the morning has arrived. So I'm going to show you Rav Soloveitchik. We'll read it in a little while. Rav Soloveitchik says that darshanim said that the meaning of this is the following. All these rabbis who were gathered at Rabbi Akiva's table came from different places in the country. And the Mefarshim asked, what are they doing by Rabbi Akiva's Seder? They came from all over. Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, they're all sitting over there at his Seder. Why are they there? So they say because they were planning the rebellion against Rome. They were using the Seder as the cover. It's not simply conspirators who are getting together, you know. They came for the Seder. And during the course of the Seder, when they decide on the... Now remember, that's Pesach time, right? When they decide that they're going to rebel against Rome because... life for Klal Yisrael became absolutely impossible under the heel of Rome. There was no choice left. They had to rebel. So this was presented to the students. Are you ready to go out to battle? When the Gemara says that they came in the morning and they said, Rabotenu, our rabbis, higi azman kriyat shma shel shachris, the time to read Shema of the morning has arrived. This was a code. Kriyat Shema means that we accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. The yoke of heaven means removing the yoke of Rome. That was their coded message saying that they're ready to go out and fight. Pesach night. So I say that what happened here was the following. The students of Rabbi Akiva went out to battle. Now watch. You know what happens in battle? Is it possible to go out to war with the halacha of Rabbi Akiva that my life becomes before yours? An army that's going to go out to battle with each one thinking, my life comes first. They've lost before they come to the field of battle. It's all over. To go out to fight means the life of the people comes first. My fellow soldier comes first. I'm ready to give my life for him. The students of Rabbi Akiva, when they went out to battle, they went out to battle with the idea that we're going to stand together and, if necessary, fall together. But no one is going to watch the other one die. We're going to fight together. Now listen carefully. When the Gemara said, Shalom, that they were punished because they did not conduct themselves with kavod, with dignity to one another, this is the way I read it. If I go out to battle and I say, me first, my life comes first, that means my kavod and my dignity is more, and my life is more important than yours. They went out to battle and lo nargu kavod zebezeh. They did not conduct themselves with the idea that I come first. Klal Yisrael comes first. Lo nargu kavod zebezeh is not a sin. Lo nargu kavod zebezeh means these were selfless people who went out to fight to the end. They were beloved in their lifetime to one another, and when they died together. Completely different approach to the whole Gemara. They were not sinners. Rabbi Akiva was not the worst failure in education in all of history. You know what gave me the clue? The Gemara doesn't say there were 24,000 students. There were 12,000 pairs. You know what the Gemara wants us to get? That there's another place where Rabbi Akiva talks about a pair. The Gemara above Metzia. Two people are walking through a desert and one has water and the other doesn't. If you want to understand the Gemara in Yevamos, you have to go to the Gemara in Bava Metzia. This puts a completely different light on it all. They went out to battle, and they fell in battle against the superior forces of Rome. But that didn't stop them from going out, and they fought with tremendous bravery. They were kedoshim utahorim kizohar harakia mazhirim, and that's why we mourn for them. We're not mourning for people who were stingy or who were didn't act nice to their friends or were jealous of somebody else's Torah. Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to say that? It's different than anything that anybody has ever said. Every year a mashgiach or a shiva in a yeshiva will give another shmuz on their madrege. If they didn't say good morning with a smile, that was lo nargu kavod zebezeh, or whatever might be the issue in the yeshiva at the time. I don't buy it. They were kedoshim utahodim. They gave their lives for Klal Yisrael. They went to fight. That's just between us. What are the other clues? The Gemara has to give us their geographic location. What is the geographic location necessary for? Those are places in the Galil. That's where many of the battles took place. The ultimate last battle was going to be in the south by Beitar. But the war against Rome took place in the north. Josephus was up there. So that's why the geographical location. I mean, if somebody is punished, I have to know where he's punished. Why do I have to know where he's punished? And the period of time is also an indication. Springtime was the time of the major battles after the winter was over. Well, it's all different. I think, did we answer all of the questions? Let me take a look, okay? We answered
When that happened, by the way, they were not disagreeing with their Rebbe. When Rebbe Akiva said that my life comes before yours, so they learned, when is that true? In peacetime. But in times of war, then everything changes dramatically. Nobody can go out to war saying that my life comes first. You're finished. Oh, you want to say that's what Atshebor Rabbi Akiva Uli made? Okay, good. Could be. So anyway, we've now explained a lot of things. Wait a minute. Wait, I missed. That's why the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Both on Samach Bays. All right. And you know what? Bava Metzia is on Amid Aleph, so you should be able to understand Yevamos Amid Bays. So what was the first one? Yes? Yes? No. This is the point. You have to listen carefully to what I'm saying. Lo nagu kavod zebeze is also a code. Lo nagu kavod zebeze means I did not conduct myself to my fellow demanding my own kavod. If I hold that my life comes first, me, my kavod is first, what happens if I'm ready to give my life for you? That I'm not conducting myself with that kavod of Chayecho Kodman. That's what it means. I'm reading it differently. Lo nagu kavod ze baze means, I say, they did not conduct themselves with the feeling that I come first. It's a dramatic change. It fits perfectly.
This doesn't sound like the text.
Oh, I'm saying it sounds perfectly like the text. You just, in Hebrew they say, Ata tzarich la'asot switch. You have to make a switch in your head. And you may have to be able to read the way Chachmei Yisrael wrote it. If I don't conduct myself with kavod, that can mean one of two things. I act not nicely to you, or I don't demand my own kavod. I'm not saying I come first. That's the way I'm reading it. That's the only way it's possible to explain why it is they all died at one period of time, why the geographic location, because the area of the battle was there. That's why it was between Pesach and Shavuos. That way it means they were not sinners and therefore we mourn for them. It therefore means that Rabbi Akiva was not a failure as a mechanech. Everything is beautiful.
So, I would say, Gemara does not suggest...
What? You're on my side. He's all with me.
No, when you read the Gemara, you can see the Gemara is not critical of the student of Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't say anything that they've done wrong, does it?
No. So we're on the same page. We're on the same, what the radar, what's all the other sticky words you're supposed to say? No question about it. The only thing that will explain it all,
the only thing that will explain why it's a period of mourning. Ah, what else? What are the questions? I have some other questions here. Wow. Oh, yes, I asked. Is there such a thing as punishment for the sin of not acting with dignity to somebody else? It was not a, there was no sin. There was no punishment. They went out to fight, and they fell in battle. And that happens in battle. That happens in battle. By the way, your problem is a good one. I've had people who looked at me like I was off the wall, and then they thought about it, and it took them a while till they came back and they said, you know, that's not bad. It could be, you understand? Okay. By the way, there's one other thing. The real reason why the Avelos began was not because of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. The real reason for the Avelos in the Sfira is because of the Crusades. The Crusades in France and Germany, hundreds of Jewish communities wiped out. That took place between Pesach and Shavuos and even after Shavuos. We know the dates of when cities were slaughtered, massacred, wiped out. The great centers of Torah were destroyed. All of the Avelos is because of that period of time. But they identified it with what else took place between Pesach and Shavuos. And the only other thing in Shas that took place between Pesach and Shavuos was the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Who are they mourning for? Kedoshim u'Tahorim, who were killed by marauding Christians on their great pilgrimage. If you want to know what the real pshat in the Gemara of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, take a look at the Avelos for those who were wiped out during the Crusades. It was during the Crusades that the Av HaRachamim that we say Shabbos in the morning before Musaf was composed then. 100,000, 200,000 that were wiped out, complete Jewish communities. Their miser minds, one after another. So Adarabba, that proves that they looked back to what other period of mourning was there that took place precisely at the same time of year between Pesach and Shavuos, the Crusades and the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. That's why the halacha is, for example, and I point this out often to people. You know, somebody was ready to listen to me. Not everybody is. The general rule is that on Shabbos that you bench Rosh Chodesh, you don't say of harachamim. But there are a number of exceptions. One of the exceptions is the Shabbos on which you bench Rosh Chodesh Iyar 2 weeks ago. That Shabbos. Now that Shabbos, it says, even if there's a bris in shul, you say Avarachmim. But wait a minute. Some of our frumis would get very upset by that. You can't have Avelos in the month of Nisan. You can only, you know what? It's fascinating. You can only bench for a Chodesh Iyar in the month of Nisan. So they get, because they get all, they've been all upset already for 69 years about Yom HaShoah in the month of Nisan. What a terrible thing. It's an Avera. Don't dare stand for the Tzvira. Go indoors, be away, forget it. Ah, it's terrible. All right. But it's,
about
Avarachmim?
See,
I started singing it, and the chairman objected.
You know what the problem over there is? The problem over there is no kehillah should be without a rav. Because they don't have a rav, so it's a bunch of balabatim over there. So the first thing, instinctively, it's Shabbos Mevorchim, you don't say Avarachman. So you need a rav. You need a rav. That was my profession. So you know that on Shabbos, Mevorchim Chodesh Iyar, you say it because that was when the Crusades began. Too bad that the Crusades started in the month of Nisan. Huh? And it's in it was all in Ashkenaz, yes. There are other minhagim about the Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Sivan, but you know what? I'll tell you, ilu hayo biyadi, ilu, if I would have the ability to do it, I would paskin like Reb Tzvi Yehuda Cook. Reb Tzvi Yehuda Cook paskined that after the Shoah, we should say Avarachmim every single Shabbos of the year. If after the Crusades that pale into insignificance before the Shoah, they composed an Avarachmim to be said 48 Shabbos during the year, 46 Shabbos during the year, the Shoah should be reason enough that the other 4 or 5 Shabbos in the year, we should say Avarachmim every Shabbos. But you know, God, you can't change people. Anyway, my point over here was the following. The biggest aveira that I did today was that I was Melamed Zchus on 24,000 heroes of Israel. They're not sinners, stingy, didn't like one another, jealous of others' Torah, rebelled against the king. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Kulam kedoshim utahorim. That's exactly what happened. I'm ready to stand by it. And if, you know, if they call me a kaifa beika, no, I'm not going to get too shook up by that at all. But there's no question about it that this makes is one way of answering all of the questions that I asked. Thanks for listening to me. To be continued.